It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 671 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Superstar creator Joe St. Pierre is the guest this week, and he's discussing his current crowdfunding project on Zoop.gg for the Joe St. Pierre Sketchbook 2025. Joe has been a comics writer and artist for Marvel, DC, Image, Valiant, Boom, IDW, and many others. He's best known for penciling more number one issues featuring Spider-Man and or his cast than any other artist. Here's the book's description. It's a collection of super sketches by Joe St. Pierre from Marvel, Spider-Man, and Venom. These are some of his favorite commissions from the last year, as well as a few gems from the vault assembled in a 52-page sketchbook. We talk about how this sketchbook came to be, how he approaches creating sketches and covers, and what else he'll be up to in the months ahead. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Joe St. Pierre has sold over 2 million comic books, illustrating and writing for Marvel, DC, Image, IDW, Boom, and Valiant, among others. And he has the distinction of penciling the most number one issues featuring Spider-Man and or the Spider-Man family. And Joe's publishing company, Astronaut Inc., highlights his creator-owned properties, Bold Blood, Megahertz, and the New Zodiac's Aquarius number one, and New Zodiac's Pisces number one, fresh off the press. And that's at astronautinc.com, of course. And the reason why we're talking today is Joe here has a Zoop.gg campaign going for the Joe St. Pierre Sketchbook 2025, which is doing very well. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it, Wayne.
It's good to talk with you, and right now, of course, congratulations are in order. You had a goal of $800, which you blew past already. You are, as we're talking, you have, that's in the rearview mirror, basically, for that. Do you know how long it took for you to pass that goal?
It took us 3.5 hours.
Wow. Okay. So, wow. Good stuff.
I figure how much does it cost to print 100 books, and we came up, you know, I collaborated with Eric and Jordan at Zoop, and we came up with a number that thought we could do well with, and didn't realize it would go so quickly, but there it is. Oh, so, well. Yeah, I think we're 50% over the goal now, maybe more.
Yeah, looks like it. I don't want to say a number because by the time this posts, I bet you it'll be much higher than what it already is. Not going to limit what you're going to get there. Now, important thing that people always rag on me because I get involved with the book and the stuff like that, and I forget to say it. This is going to be, of course, since you've already passed your goal, it's a done deal basically. But this is going to conclude on Friday, December 20. And that's not far away when this posts. This is going to post on the 15th, and so that means you only have a few days left. Get on the bandwagon, and let me tell you, it's beautiful stuff. If you go to zoop.gg/C as in cat/, I'd spell it, but it'd be, it's Joe St. Pierre Sketchbook, all one word. And the saint is just S-T. In there.
So yeah. Oh, you just go to Zoop. I always say go to zoop.gg and then scroll down past the animated banner. And there I am. Pop.
Wow. Now, this is a 52-page sketchbook. And yes. Can we jump right into Spider-Man? I'm just sort of curious about that. Okay. How in the world did you get that gig to be able to do all those different number ones of Spider-Man? Did you know somebody?
I knew somebody. At the time I kind of cracked the Marvel world. It was in the mid to late 90s, and there were four titles featuring Spider-Man on the regular monthly titles, and they all had their own teams. And they all had their own writers, artists, pencilers, inkers, colorists, blah, blah, blah. So when I came in, I got a bunch of mini series and one shots and annuals and stuff like that. So one day I was just kind of sitting around looking through my resume, and I had recently come across an interesting experience at conventions where most fans were only interested in buying a comic series if it had a number one issue. And so I kind of took that to heart. Like, in other words, they wouldn't just buy a comic book series if it was issue 3 or issue 4. They wanted to start at the beginning, and they always felt number one was the beginning. So that kind of sat in my little brain for quite a while. And then I realized as I was going through my resume that I did a lot of number one issues because of the miniseries, because of the one-shots and the annuals. And so just to kind of make an appeal to these fans who love number one issues, that's how I pitch myself now. I'm the artist of the most number one issues featuring wow. Spider-Man or his cast.
So you did this and you didn't even know you were doing it?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
At the time, no idea. I was just, is this a Spider-Man job? Yes, please. May I have another? You know, that kind of thing. So I didn't even think about, oh, I need to have a number one, you understand, because blah, blah, blah.
Well, Spider-Man, of course, is the character for Marvel these days.
For sure.
So you were ahead of the curve. I mean, jumping on the Spider-Man bandwagon before it even was a bandwagon, basically. So it's really amazing to me. Now, as I was looking at some of the things, of course, as I mentioned, the website, if you want to see some of the illustrations, just being an audio podcast, I have trouble showing pictures. But if you go to that website address we listed and you take a gander there while we're talking, you'll get to see a lot of the drawings that Joe here has done. And it's very dynamic, I have to say. Lots and lots of motion, things happening. just amazing things. Talk about your inspirations on Spider-Man, because I feel a lot of Steve Ditko in your stuff.
Yeah, sure. Ditko, Romita, those are the two main artists that I grew up with, that I connected to. And a little McFarlane in there just because of the time that I came in, you know, his webbing was all the rage and stuff like that. So someone once called me my Spider-Man stuff like a mix between Ditko and McFarlane. So I'll take that. That kind of works.
That's pretty good company.
Yeah. I always felt like Spidey seems to want to be a little on the cartoony side, you know, like if you have a super realistic artist, something about the realism of the art kind of takes away from Spidey because he's meant to be exaggerated, you know, he's meant to have his hips up around his ear and stuff like that. And that's just not something that you can do with photography yet.
No, there was a McFarlane one where literally his toe was in his ear, basically. Yeah. And I was sitting there thinking, man, I don't think I can even half that way. Because that's just amazing stuff to me. I just, you know, I couldn't even conceive of such a thing. But it's pretty darn amazing.
Even Romita Sr., you know, he would hyperextend the web, you know, when he makes the web hands, you know, with the devil horn kind of gesture. Even that, when I was a kid, I remember trying to get my fingers as straight as Spider-Man's were, and I couldn't do it.
Well, I got to ask you, talk about the webbing, if you would, for a minute, because that takes a lot of time to draw that stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's also very meditative, though. I mean, you know, if you're kind of you're having a bad day or something, just start drawing a bunch of webbing, and it'll kind of help you focus your brain.
You kind of go, why are you doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's really no wrong way. I find there's no wrong way to draw the webs because you're always wrapping one strand around the other. So if something doesn't connect you. Get your little whiteout pen and you touch it and, oh, look at that. They're all connecting again. So
now, are you doing your artwork on paper still or are you on computer now?
It depends on the gig. I've done both on the regular. with my own stuff, I still kind of, I'm still a pen and ink on paper guy. And then I scan into the computer and do the coloring and lettering from there.
See, there's a wise thing to do, because if you do the paper stuff, collectors out there are going to crave those paper copies.
Yeah, not just collectors, but me too. I like the sense that, you know, unless I set fire to my artwork for some point inadvertently, I have a record of my own. You know, I can flip through a portfolio and I can say I remember when I did that. But like I said, it depends on the job. I've experimented with 100% digital and stuff like that. And it's a computer's just a tool. But kind of like what you said, I like having the, you know, the piece of art that I could sell to someone as well.
Well, it's really good because so many people I know, and I know some artists who are total digital, and they can't do that. And I say, I keep saying, "The man, you have lost a income stream that you would really like to have." And you know, I mean, you can make do a printout. Nobody wants to buy a printout, so that's kind of crazy.
I agree.
Now, the interesting thing about this book is it's got a full color cover, but the inside is all black and white.
Yeah, a lot of these sketches come from the last year and a half or so. I discovered an application, an app called Whatnot. Have you heard of that?
Oh yes, okay. My roommate and I get on Whatnot and sell stuff all the time.
Oh, do you really? What do you sell?
Well, okay.
Your comic collection?
No. What happens is my roommate created an indie comic. Mm. It's called Stabbity Bunny. And
okay.
As you know, I'm an editor, and so I edit. I help him with that kind of stuff. I help him when somebody's crazy name comes across the screen and they buy something. I write the little tab that tells what it is, so he gets to know how to do that and stuff like that. But it's, you know, eBay is big too. eBay Live is big along those lines, kind of same kind of thing. But Whatnot is what we tend to do. So we're on there oftentimes Saturday nights and stuff like that.
Oh, very cool. What is your handle? I'll follow you. You don't know your handles today.
It's just my quiz. I didn't realize it was going to be a quiz today. So let me hold on there. And why is it? It's not letting me go there. See, my phone keeps all this information for me.
That's cool.
Let's see. Log in. I have an account. Why wouldn't you? Of course, it doesn't remember. I'm almost always Wayne Hall or Wayne A. Hall.
Okay. Good.
But it's Wayne Arthur Hall. It could be, this is what cell phones are good for. They're good for keeping memory on this stuff.
I see.
Do you see me out there? Am I out there?
I see a Wayne Hall. Okay. I see a Wayne _ Hall.
Okay, oh dear.
Let's see if Wayne Hall. Do you know how many followers you have?
Not many.
I see Wayne A. Hall, 8 followers, 3 following. You're following Jonathan Hedrick, Stabby
yes,
Bunny.
That's me.
Tomb. Okay, so I'm going to follow all these guys. Cool.
Okay, you got me.
You got another follower, Wayne.
Oh boy! You know it's funny. I do
scream out, run to the top of your building.
Wow! Oh man, I've got a whole nother
rooftop.
I do a little video because I want to keep my skills in video up. I do a little video thing on YouTube, and you know I've done it now for a couple of years, and I'm all the way up to 20 followers on there.
Nice.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, but I follow other people who have 10,000 followers and stuff, and I have all of 20. So it's, but I do, like I said, I don't do it for that. I do it so I can keep my skills going and do the kind of things about that.
Makes sense.
What about you? Because I've seen some artists and stuff like that do videos of while they're drawing and record it and stuff. Are you doing that too?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at before I got distracted, I discovered Whatnot, and it's basically me live streaming on Thursdays at noon Eastern time. And so a lot of people have come in, they look at the store, they get a commission from me, and I'll live stream the drawing. So I've done so many commissions that I thought, wouldn't it be cool to collect these and share them with fans or people who like, you know, sketch art and stuff like that. So you know, a lot of this is a collaboration with the Whatnot followers too. You know, they'll very often tell me what to draw. Very often they'll tell me which drawing they like better than others. I once had a poll series where I would put up kind of like a March Madness, where I'd put up four covers and ask them to choose the one they liked best. So I've got a whole bunch of Whatnot research, you know, from my followers there, you know, telling me kind of which drawings that they favor over others. And so I'm just kind of using that information, and I got 163 sketches that I'm trying to whittle down to about 60. And I'm using all that data that I've collected from the followers to make my choices. It's kind of fun.
So I have to ask, though, because, you know, comics are known for being a full-color medium and stuff. Why the black and white? I mean, because I'm sure you could color if you wanted to. Do you prefer the black and white medium as opposed to color?
Well, most often the sketches from Whatnot are black and white, so I'm just kind of following the wave there. There is an add-on option to have them colored, but I just felt like the black and white kind of worked best, like keep everything consistent. I do have an option, talking to the Zoop guys, to if we hit a certain number on the Zoop campaign, that will add like a color section to the book. So that is still an option that could happen. We just need to get a little more traffic on the site, I think.
Okay. Now I got to ask about the cover to the sketchbook. What is that drawing? It's like a post-apocalyptic type setup. Well, what's the drawing about?
Yeah, that character, those characters, they're called the Dregs. They are cast members of my comic series, The New Zodiacs. I've got a new book coming out in February. It's currently in the Previews magazine, so retailers and fans can order the book. It's called New Zodiacs Pisces number one. Mm-hmm. And inside New Zodiacs Pisces number one, there's a story that features those characters. So, you know, it's kind of my way of helping spread the new Z, the new Zodiacs. It's also an image that a lot of people have connected to without even being familiar with the characters. Like, I've sold 50 t-shirts with that image on it.
Wow.
And they don't even know who the characters are. So I'm like, this seems to connect to people. It's a good intro and it's a cool drawing. It's one of my favorite drawings I've done in recent years. So,
because, you know, it's funny, we do our Stabbity Bunny stuff, and some people are just bunny lovers. They don't they buy the book purely because it's got a bunny on the cover and stuff. And we were going like, don't you want to read the story? That's okay. I've got the bunny thing. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting how fans do things. Of course, some of us are on both sides of the table, and so we get to see those kinds of wonderful things. So it's so interesting to me, the creative process and how it goes. Now, you've got some sketches on there, like of Space Ghost, which is a favorite of mine. Of course, I enjoy
it. Oh, yeah?
Are there characters that you haven't drawn that you would like to draw?
You mean like as a professional gig? I mean, if there is a character that I want to draw, I can always just belt out a sketch myself. But are you talking about like maybe a series or?
Well, how about both?
Yeah. I'm really digging what I do nowadays. But I do have a fondness for some of the lesser known DC characters. You know, like the Atom, Ray Palmer, the Atom, and Hawkman, Metamorpho, characters like that.
Now you're talking my language.
Are you a DC guy?
I'm a DC guy. I tend to, and it's just me. If you like Marvel, that's great. If you want to see people who can't pay the rent and are avoiding their landlord and stuff, that's great. I prefer something more iconic, you know, something that is something we can emulate or try to wish we were more like. So DC for me is that way. There are Marvel books I really like. I like the Hulk series right now that Phil Kennedy Johnson is doing. I really enjoy that. I love that. it's very much horror. I always thought, here's this huge green guy. And everybody just like treats him like he's an average guy walking around.
Yeah.
Like, wow, he's a monster and stuff. And that's what he's exploring, that whole aspect of him being a monster, which I
that's neat.
I love that. I that's my favorite Marvel book right now, and that's that good stuff. But you know, you talk about you mentioned one of my all-time favorite characters, Hawkman.
No kidding.
Oh my gosh, there's, you know, we talked about before we started recording about how if we get off in Star Trek, we'll be lost for hours. But I'm kind of that way with Hawkman too. I really enjoy his character. They had a recent series on DC that really I enjoyed tremendously. The bad news is it didn't survive, and now I'm going like, what can they possibly do that keeps this character going?
Yeah,
that didn't work because that was tremendous. So
is that the Venditti stuff where they introduced a Kryptonian Hawkman?
Yes.
And stuff like that? You like that?
I loved all that stuff. I have this practice when I read my comics every week. I put the best one on the bottom because I want to end with a really good one. And I told him Hawkman is always on the bottom of my stack because I have got to end with something really terrific. And
what a great compliment.
Yeah, you know, I told him that. I said, "Man, that's just the best thing in the world." But the DC characters, like Adam and Hawkman, of course, they were great friends at a time and stuff. And so all that stuff I really enjoy. I like those. That era was a fun era. Of course, I read all that stuff back in the '60s. And
oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Do you remember the checkerboard across the top?
Of course. Oh my gosh, that's why I get a kick because they're doing that on the Ghost Machine, I think, is using.
Oh,
that.
Are they really? They're doing the checkerboards?
Yeah,
oh,
cool. And some of their titles, which I really enjoy. See, stuff like that, just that I enjoy that. Those just the little touches sometimes will get me going. And it seems like you do too, because you add a lot of detail, I have to say. It's one thing some people do not, but you do. And I have to say, I you know, when somebody punches somebody, I hurt.
Yeah.
You hit the
great. Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh. It's somebody reaches out and the face is going, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's got to hurt like that. The one drawing you have on here of Venom is.
I got to look at the website now and forget what's up there.
You got a trio there. You got Spider-Man, Storm, and then Venom. One of the spider-likes, I see all these battle-like characters and also now they're spider-like characters. Okay. There's so many of these people who have the what do you call it? The thing that was attached to them and became kind of took over and stuff.
The symbiotes.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the Venom with all the strands of webbing and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
And is that a hand coming up under the bottom?
Yeah, that's the symbiote. It's still it's still making its way up his body, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
That's the idea.
So. See, this is one of the things, and I've talked with artists before about that. When you do a drawing, it's not necessarily a still thing. Oftentimes you're showing something like it's a part of a story or a part of an action that's going on.
Yes.
And see, if you get that movement and that motion, and it just gets us as fans going like, ooh, just if we can only see a story around that drawing. Of course, that was, you know, back in the '60s and stuff, they used to do covers that way.
Oh, man.
They'd do a fancy cover and then they would develop a story around the cover.
Yeah.
So,
That was the DC. That was the DC policy, right? Carmine Infantino would come up with a cover sketch and then hand it to the writer.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Go bananas, Carrie, writing? Carrie Bates.
Yep. 22 pages you got to get the result of all this and stuff. So
go crazy, bud.
That, honestly, I think on some levels, but I do hate, one of the things I hate in comics too, and this is off subject a little bit, is when the last page is the illustration of the cover. We end where we start. Oh, I hate that so much.
That's not cool.
No. Yeah. I don't like that. But have you, because there's a big Space Ghost series going on right now and stuff. I'm so happy to see those kinds of things. They're bringing the Herculoids back, for heaven's sakes.
Love the Herculoids.
Oh, I was, oh gosh, see, Saturday morning, see. That was a deal for me, and I based on what David Popose is doing on Space Ghost, I'm really excited about the other stuff.
Is he also writing the Herculoids book too?
No, somebody else is writing that.
Okay,
but it's going to be good. But what about when we talked about characters that you might like to draw, or are there characters that you wish that you could? As far as if somebody comes up and asks for a sketch and stuff. Is there one that you, if somebody says, do what you want, is there one that's kind of a go-to for you? Is that Spider-Man or?
Yeah. I mean, that's the big caveat with me. I mean, since I was 10 years old, it's been a goal. It was a goal of mine to draw Spider-Man. I loved the character since I was a kid. I learned how to read because of Spider-Man comics, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, forget about it. Yes. I'm a Spider-Man diehard. You never have to twist my arm to get me to draw something with Spider-Man in it. That's just the way it is.
So but, I want to talk a little bit about that. How you learn to read with Spider-Man stuff. Cause my growing up experience, I have a twin brother and we used to sit on either side of our mom and she would read the comics to us.
That's cool.
And what we did when we got to school and we were in first grade and we knew what Invulnerable meant.
Yeah, yes, I had a similar experience. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, is that what happened with you? How did you start reading through Spider-Man? I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, it's just the comics, and I gotta say, I'm a proponent of I forget the term, but the there's a method of learning with words and images that helps people. Retain knowledge a little bit better than just reading, prose on black and white letters on paper. Mm-hmm. And I'm a total proponent on that. I remember things better when there's an image attached to it. That must have come from me leafing through comics as a child. I had a similar experience to you where in first grade, I was taken to the upper grades.
That's exactly what my brother and I went through.
You too.
They would take us up to third and fourth grade and make us read out loud.
Was the point of that? In retrospect.
The teacher would say, they can do that. They look at how they're in first grade and they learn through comics. Mm-hmm. And my gosh, third and fourth graders knew who we were.
Yeah,
not very happily, but but the thing was that I'm so glad to hear somebody that's had an experience very similar to ours, because this is the first time I bumped into somebody with that. I always tell that story and people are like, oh, that never happened.
Yeah, it did. It certainly did, and it happened to more than just you and your brother too, apparently, and me.
Isn't that amazing? But see, they asked me what my biggest word was, and I had my biggest word, because I'm a Batman guy, was Batmobile. And
nice.
So my brother, of course, he was a Superman fan, and Invulnerable was his favorite.
That's a good one. Metropolis was one of mine. Incredible. Yeah.
So what about drawing and stuff like that? When you started to draw, obviously you were exposed to comics and stuff at a young age. When did you actually start to draw? Did you do it when you were a kid, or how did that happen?
It was probably the same time. Yeah.
Wow.
I was just inspired by the whole experience. And a lot of times, the drawings that I was doing were not even Spider-Man. They were my own characters. So I've got probably about 100 comics that I made between the ages of 6 and 16, just nonstop drawing. When I was 10 years old, I sat at the coffee table one summer, early summer morning, and I said, I'm going to start my own comic book company. And I took two pieces of paper, pushed them together into like one big double page spread. And I started at the top left and went to the bottom right and had a whole line of like, how many characters? There must be about 25 characters on this drawing. And I actually, as an adult, I had those drawings framed because, just that lack of fear, just that moment of inspiration is like something I still aspire to. Mm-hmm. So when things are down, I'm having a crappy day, the drawing's not coming, I just look up at that drawing, that I did when I was 10, and I'm like, this guy got it. if this guy got it, you got it. And to the point, you know, I'm such an advocate for comics as a reading tool that I did a series of young readers graphic novels called the Fabian Cousteau Expeditions mm-hmm. in recent years. And these are graphic novels, 100-page stories about Jacques Cousteau's grandson, who's carrying on the family business. Mm-hmm. And he's taking kids out on adventures to see sea creatures and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, look, I learned how to read when I was a kid looking at comics. So maybe I can kind of pass on the love, you know. So mm-hmm. I took this gig. Simon & Schuster published it. It came out in recent years. I think the last mm-hmm. one came out a couple of years ago now. Wow. But, I mean, that's how much of an advocate I am for the medium.
Wow. See, we need some of that because the terrible truth is that I'm not convinced because the current generation that's coming up is all video gamers and stuff yeah. like that. And they can't understand sitting, holding a book in your hand and turning the page. And, you know, cause I remember, I always tell the story of how I got into comics. I was in my house, in the basement of the house was a Batman comic. And mm-hmm. I went down to the cellar and I picked it up and I opened it up and there's Batman. He's in England and mm-hmm. he's trying to protect this castle and he puts these gliders on his shoulders. So he's flying around like a bat trying to protect this castle. And, you know, Frank Miller often said, you know, he opened the comic and he fell in. And
yeah.
That was my experience. I was suddenly flying around this London thing. And that to this day, I still enjoy comics because of that experience. That great comics, there's nothing like great comics. It's
agree more. And that's why I do what I do because I'm like you. I'm like, I might have seen that scene and you just got charged out of it. You know, mm-hmm. you got excited. And so I kind of do what I do to get that charge, you know, to give that charge to other people, but also to get that charge myself. Like I want to read my own stuff and go, oh, that's pretty good, you know, or wow, that's great, you know.
See, the good news is you have talent. See, the bad news is I don't. I you talked about making comics. My brother and I used to make comics when we were kids. And the bad news is all I could ever do was copy out of comics. Uh-huh. I could not draw it myself. And so, uh-huh. you know, people say, well, you should write because I'm an editor. They think I can write. And I said, mm-hmm. No, I can tell when something is really good, but I cannot come up with it. I can tell you when something's really great, but there's, you know, for me to actually do that, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I kind of come from the camp where I don't feel it's magic. I mean, I just sat down and did it for 50 years. You know, I think if you do anything for 50 years, you better be somewhat skilled at it. So my guess is how often did you try to write a story or how often did you try to draw?
Well, I've tried
several. I bet it wasn't 50 years.
No, I've tried several times, but it just comes out mediocre. Even I can say it's not that great. But, you know, someday I'm going to sit down and hammer back at it again. But you're a writer too, aren't you? According to what it says in here, not only do you draw and you do wonderfully drawing, but you're a writer as well, right?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. I'm the guy who considers himself a comic artist. And that includes understanding story and, you know, story plus art equals comics. So it's not just, okay, great drawing of Batman standing there with a spotlight behind him. Mm-hmm. You need to give him a purpose. You know, why is he standing there? You know, it's not just a great drawing of Batman with these wing attachments. You need to establish a setting where he can break those out and give the reader a charge. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's always been like that for me since I'm a kid. When I'm writing script, if I'm ever writing script, it's usually writing about images and stuff like that. And then while I'm drawing, penciling, and inking pages, I'm writing dialogue on the side. So it's like a corpus callosum kind of event where they're both intertwining with each other the whole time. That's the best way I can describe it.
Okay, I've got to ask you because I ask people, are you an artist who writes, or are you a writer who draws, or are you? Some people just say that I'm a storyteller, and that kind of is the whole thing.
I say I'm a comic book artist.
Okay, so that's where that comes
from. For me, that includes story plus art. You know, we were talking about this earlier on another interview, where I'm also a huge fan of the symbols that comics offer. You know, the page layouts can become a symbol. That kind of enforce the theme of the story. You know, there's so much you can do with just panel to panel pictures. I love messing around with that symbol language. It's great stuff. I was gonna break out some pages to share with you, but we're an audio podcast.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
it's okay.
This is when I really. But again, if you want to see, go to zoop.gg and go to Joe St. Pierre's sketchbook, and you'll get to see a lot of the drawings that some of them are. I think are going to are all of these going to be in the book, or are just some of them?
Right now, I'm gonna say some of them. It looks like I'm gonna have to edit out a few for space.
Okay.
I'm not sure Aquaman and Mera are gonna make it because they were in my first sketchbook. But I love those drawings of Aquaman. I'm a huge Aquaman fan too. Oh,
okay.
There's and I love series. Mera. Like Mera does not get enough play.
Oh no, never. See, now there's a new Aquaman series coming out.
I heard about that.
The guy who writes Green Lantern, which I really enjoy, is the guy writing this. So I am looking forward to that tremendously. Boy, if you could do a cover for that, wouldn't that be
okay? Twist my arm.
I wish I had some influence on that, but I don't. I interviewed Jeremy Adams not that long ago, and I told him how much I was enjoying his Green Lantern. When I saw he was taking Aquaman, I said, "Oh boy."
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's going to be fun.
You know, it's funny because I did an interview earlier today, and both of those writers that you mentioned, the Space Ghost guy and the Aquaman Green Lantern guy, got mentioned in that previous podcast. So now I'm definitely going to check these out.
Okay, because you know, one of the great things I hope that people will do and listen to these kind of shows and pick up, maybe if they're thinking about making a comic, if they hear that somebody has done it, then that kind of encourages them to do their own.
For sure.
So it's just, and what you've done is just absolutely glorious stuff. I mean, the energy just, the illustrations just pop off the page to me. It's just, I mean, I feel like Spider-Man's finger is about a half of an inch away from me. The way that when he's got two rhinos after him, and there's that finger coming right towards me. It's just great stuff when you do. I like that.
I like you, Wayne. You can't give me a better compliment than that. Thank you very much. Seriously, I appreciate that.
Well, the thing is, do you do that when you're doing an illustration? Do you think of a part of a story? So, like in these all these illustrations and stuff like that, do you have a story in mind? Like the one with the rhino. I mean, the rhino's chasing after him, and the finger is coming my way. Is there a story in your head that illustration is about?
That's a great question. You know, I'm not sure if that specific piece generated a story, but I do love the rhino, and I did kind of get a little into rendering the hide. You know, I got into exploring what he could look like besides what we've seen before. And so that's where I kind of basically drew every single wrinkle in his hide. But there's plenty of times where I'll be doing a drawing and a story will come to mind which will affect the drawing. I don't remember if it happened with Rhino. I'm guessing not, but the one right next to it on the Zoop website is a Spidey Goblin.
Yeah.
And a story came to me while I was I'm having a friend of mine named Dash color this piece. And the background I used was it was from a photography book about Manhattan buildings. And the color palette of this particular photo that I used for reference was had a lot of purples and greens in it. And of course the goblin is purple and green.
Right.
So while I'm writing notes to Dash for coloring, I love the idea of, you know, Spidey in red and blue, maybe lit by the sun, and his whole world is purple and green. You know, it's just corrupt like the Goblin. And then that started spinning into, holy cow, you know, what if, what kind of story could this be? Could this become? And this is one of the triumphant moments of the story where he conquers the Goblin, you know?
Because Spider-Man has the, you know, the one where that machine was holding him, and he had to throw it off himself and stuff like that. That was, there are these, a lot of those classic Spidey moments.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like what this is. This is very much of a, because the Green Goblin is like the Joker.
And, yeah.
Very much of a thing that whenever he's involved in something, the tension rises the second he's on the on the page or on the screen.
He's a superpowered Joker, a wealthy Joker. He's got all kinds of technology and stuff. So
see, right there's a story. I have to tell you. There's a comic right there waiting to be drawn,
waiting to be explored. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's just great stuff. So, again, it's at zoop.gg, Joe St. Pierre Sketchbook, and 2025, it says. And be sure to go there. Now, of course, just because you've already gotten your gold, that doesn't mean that you're done. You want to get as much support as possible so that good things can continue to happen.
Yeah, like we were talking about earlier, this, we could get a color insert in there, like an extra eight pages in color. We haven't had the discussion yet, but we've got to do the numbers. And, if we hit a certain goal, we'll just start thinking about a color section more seriously. And you can get a remark sketch in full color. There are examples on the website. You can get a remark sketch in black and white. Just the most basic. You can get the sketch. You can get the sketchbook. I'm currently working my way through 163 drawings. It'll probably be whittled down to about 60 or so. Mm-hmm. But you'll be able to get a book with 60 cool drawings for $25 signed by me. It's a pretty good deal. It probably won't be more than 100 of these in print.
Wow. Won't that be great? Because, like I said, they pop off the page right at me. So this megahertz cover, I feel like I got a duck when I look at that cover. Feels like he's going to punch me if I don't duck. So it's really terrific illustrations. That dynamic thing is just, that's comics for you right there. That's the kind of thing that really
That's good superhero comics.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, really. Mm-hmm. And stuff. Well, Joe, it's just been tremendous to talk with you. And I wish you more success. You're already successful with this good thing. So even more success. Man, I'd love to see a really big number on there on that soup page.
That'd be nice. Let's sell 50 or 60 of these. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. That'd be
Could I also promote my New Zodiac's Pisces book, which is also on the Zoop? I have advanced copies available in my possession. So you can buy the New Zodiac's Pisces book on Zoop even before it comes out in comic stores. But if you feel like giving your comic shop, your LCS, a little extra cash, I totally understand that and I support it. And New Zodiac's Pisces number one is in the current issue of Previews magazine. The product number is DEC241286E as in Edward. And you can just go to your LCS and order it there. It'll arrive in comic shops in February. If you're a comics retailer, please order 7,000 of them. And it will make this my full-time job.
Oh, wow. Well, see, you know, some people do that. Some people do crowdfunding so well that that's all they really do is crowdfund. Like Ron Randall is a good example for Trek.
Yeah.
He does. He basically just does the crowdfunding, and he brings in enough that he just basically does that for a living. And that's
I would love to be able to hit that level for sure.
I wish we could do it, because it used to be back in like the medieval times, people who had money would donate money to artists and musicians and stuff, and they would make and create stuff. And I kind of wish we had some of that today.
Yeah, to
get some of that going, because man, there is so much creativity out there that we're just not getting to enjoy, and I'd really love to see that. So, well, Joel, all I can tell you is just that you are doing tremendous stuff, and you know that already, but it's great. And
thank you.
I want you to, we want to see the Sketchbook 2026 come along.
And, yeah, sure.
and just keep it up because more wonderful stuff. If people want to follow you on social media, how do they do that?
I would go to joestpierre.com. Let me see if it's working.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah, just make sure that I'm giving you. Yeah, joestpierre.com. You can see a preview of New Zodiac's Pisces. You just click on the banner box and scroll down, and you will ideally see the artwork. Let's see. There's about 10 pages of art on display. Mm. Oh, maybe more. Jeez, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, there's like a dozen pages of art from New Zodiac's Pisces. Wow. So you can order with confidence.
Wow. Very good. Very good. That's so good. And sometime you and I would get together and talk Star Trek and then do that and spend a couple hours at that. But until then, you got a zoop that you got to be crowdfunded and get as much as you can.
Let's sneak a Star Trek in. What's your favorite episode today?
Oh, see, this is the problem is there's so much good Star Trek out there now. There's Strange New Worlds I really enjoy.
Oh, cool.
But my favorite is always DS9.
Oh, really? Nice.
I'm part of a little group of friends, and we conduct discussion panels at like Star Trek conventions and stuff, and we do DS9 panels at almost every one we go to, because even though that hasn't been out for years now, there are new people coming on all the time thanks to streaming and good things like that. And Cisco is my favorite of the
Do you have a favorite episode from DS9?
Oh, well, The Visitor. I still tear up when I see that. I've seen that 100 times now, and I still tear up. Have you ever seen that one?
What season is that?
That's season 4, episode. It's listed as 2. Uh-huh. There was a 2-hour The Way of the Warrior where Worf was introduced, and then the next one after that is Jake. Sisko is lost in time, and Jake has to grow up without him.
Oh.
And he keeps popping in every once in a while into Jake's life.
Oh, geez, I have to see that one.
Oh, let me tell you, get the tissues ready. It is. I'll tell you a quick story, and I'll let you go. There was a TV station was showing DS9, and they were saying, "What should we do? Should we continue to show this show, or what? Or should we pull it?" They said, "Well, let's look. They just sent us a new episode, but they put The Visitor in there."
Oh.
And by the time it was done, all these guys came out sobbing. We are not canceling this show. They go, we are not doing that. So that's one of the great ones. When TV Guide, back when they had TV Guide, TV Guide used to do a thing with what's your favorite Star Trek episode? And they'd always say Trouble with Tribbles.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the last times they did it, it came back as The Visitor.
Are you kidding?
And they were shocked. And
beat out TOS.
Yes, and let me tell you, I still even thinking about it, I start to cry about it because it's the father son relationship is just an interesting one. This explores that really beautifully.
Yeah, I gotta check that out. The Offspring, TNG, Offspring sounds similar to me. That one gets me every time.
Okay, I gotta get right, move on. I gotta move on.
You gotta eat dinner.
Well, Joe, it's just great talking with you. We'll have to do this again when you have the Sketchbook 2026 comes out. We'll talk about that one and see how things are going differently at that point.
Look forward to it.
It's so much success, though. I just can't wait to see all the good stuff. So, again, one last time, zoop.gg/C/Joe St. Pierre Sketchbook. I want to spell it, but I don't dare think it would be so boring to do that. But if you go there and see that, just go to zoop.gg. It should pop up on the top. And let me tell you, you've only got until the 20th. So don't wait. Get out there and join it today and help Joe be able to do even more with the sketchbook than he's already got planned. So, Joe, just keep it up. It's so great. It was fun to talk with you, and what a great book. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks very much. I appreciate your time, Wayne.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support this show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.